Alpha, beta, gamma, delta,
epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa,
lambda, mu, nu, z, xi,
omicron, pi, rho, sigma, tau, epsilon, phi, chi, psi, omega.
Welcome to College Life 2011 here at Purdue University. I'm John Sterrett, and we are going to discuss one of the most prominent communities on campus, fraternities and sororities, and how we got to Greek. We will examine how these organizations influence our campus and how they got their start at this land-grant university in a tricky battle of litigation, infamously known as the Purdue case. On campus here at Purdue, you see these fraternities, sororities all around us, and it gets you thinking, what do these Greek communities stand for, and why are they even allowed to exist? I mean, we've all seen the movies, Animal House, American Pie, post-Bandcamp. And we know the stereotypes of the big parties and the polo-wearing frat brothers and the sorority girls. Surely there must be something more than the stereotypes. So we started looking around. We were going to do some research, and we went down to the basement in Hicks, and we walked down to the lounge, and it was just Greek letters everywhere. Shirts, backpacks, computers, hats, just covered in all these different names of Greek fraternities and sororities. So we had David go around and talk to them, and this is what he had to say.
So I got the opportunity to interview a few of these college students and ask them why they chose to, you know, be part of these secret societies, these fraternities and sororities. And their answers came back in pretty common themes.
The reason I got involved was I had always been involved in high school, and just to get involved and find my niche here at Purdue's campus.
I joined the Greek life to get involved.
They were looking to get involved here on campus.
I chose to go Greek because my friends were, and it's a way to become closer to the community.
They wanted to connect to the community.
I knew several brothers in the house before I rushed, and I went to Rush. I clicked with all the guys in the house, and I found my fit and didn't go anywhere else.
Because I got along great with the guys during Rush. It seemed like the perfect house for me. My brother was here, so that was a big influence.
Or in one way or another, their family and friends pointed them in the direction of Greek life.
I chose to go Greek because my whole family did, and it sounded interesting to me.
I feel like just now we're starting to understand why people go Greek in our podcast. But to understand where, you know, where the system is coming from, we should go back to its roots. So after a quick Google search and finding about this thing called the Purdue case, we sent two members of our team to the archives at the Purdue Stewart Center. And you know what? I'm gonna let them tell you about their findings.
All right, so we're going to the archives located in the Stewart Center to get a better grasp of what the Purdue case is all about.
Come on, Iman. Let's go.
Really?
Okay, what are we looking at right now? This is a lot of information.
It's overwhelming.
So it says here, after opening his door in 1874, Purdue University went through a three-year period where all Greek systems were, for the most part, left untouched. But then in 1877, Purdue's third president, Emerson White, who was a big subscriber to the anti-Masonic organization sentiment,
which was at its peak at the time,
made his first attempt to strike down Greek life on Purdue University
with what was known as the Matriculation Pledge. What was the Matriculation Pledge again?
I remember reading this. It says right here. The Matriculation Pledge, the students pledge that they will abstain from drinking, smoking, skipping class, and most importantly, joining any secret or Greek-lettered society.
Basically, White planned to terminate all Greek organizations within a few years.
Yeah, it was fairly successful at first. For the next couple of years, many organized oppositions were made against those new rules without any success. It wasn't until 1881 when returning student Thomas P. Hawley was refused to be admitted back to Purdue without pledging away his Sigma Chi membership that an opposition finally made significant progress. With the help of his brothers and other strong legal connections, Sigma Chi filed a class action lawsuit against Purdue.
But despite their strong case, the local state circuit court ruled in the favor of President White, saying that the Board of Trustees had the right to make any rules to conduct and manage Purdue University.
Yeah, but there is more. Determined, the Sigma Chi appealed their case to the Indiana State Supreme Court, who, in a decision that would affect Greek organizations across the country, ruled that there was nothing against joining a fraternity and that an objection by Purdue staff was unfounded.
With this victory, Holly and Sigma Chi set the legal precedent that would allow Greek organizations across the country to exist and thrive into the vast system we have today.
If you still can't grasp the implications of this decision, just think about these stats. There are over 400 universities with Greek life available, with over 9 million members nationwide.
This means the Greek community isn't some trend or cool new thing. It's a continuation of history, ceremony, and traditions for, in some chapters, hundreds of years.
Our gang is the jolliest that you have ever seen. Oh, we drink a sign of lager and we smoke a big cigar. Our yell you hear it ringing through the country near and far. Oh, who am I, sir? I'm a Sigma Chi. Sigma Chi, sir, will we till I die? Oh, we're up to stuff, we never bluff, we're game in any fuss. No other gang in college dares to meet us in a bus. So fill your lungs and sing it out and shout it to the skies. The blue and gold forever, I'm a loyal Sigma Chi.
So we found out, you know, where these things came from. You know, the Purdue case setting a huge precedent on the existence of fraternities and sororities. But now that they're allowed to exist, what are they going to do? So we looked it up, PurdueGreeks.com. On it, if you look around a little bit, you can find a website for almost every fraternity and sorority on this campus. But as we look around on these websites, we see a lot of the focus is given towards philanthropy. And not just community service, though they do that. Many of them are associated with on-campus fraternities and sororities, philanthropies, not even just their own, of all. And many of these fraternities and sororities have national philanthropies, where the entire national or international chapter will have a focused philanthropy for the year, and each chapter across the United States will do their part in raising money on their campuses for their causes. And so it's not just a Purdue thing. It's the Greek organizations across the nation and across the world that are giving back to their communities.
The Purdue case and Holly's victory create an environment where tradition is found, friendships foster, and you can get involved. I'm John Starrett, and thank you for listening to this week's podcast on College Life 2011. Stay classy, Purdue.